Religious violence between Indonesia's Christians and Muslims arrived with a vengeance in the town Ambon in the late 1990s after the downfall of the Suharto dictatorship. Massive riots broke out in the Maluku Islands after centuries of calm since the Dutch colonized the region in the late 1600s. Traditional practices of mutual aid and a sense of common identity kept the peace until the downfall of Suharto in 1999. When the violence ended, more than 5,000 people had been killed and 500,000 people were driven from their homes. In the aftermath, moderate Christians and Muslims worked together to rebuild community ties as a group calling itself Peace Provocateurs. But today, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch are criticizing Indonesian President Yudhoyono for not defending the rights of religious minorities. Recent incidents include Shia Muslims being driven out of their homes in East Java, and local officials in Bekasi, a suburb of Jakarta, demolishing a new Batak Protestant Christian church building after getting angry complaints from militant Islamists. When violence returned to Ambon in 2011, rioting destroyed 700 homes. The peace provocateurs sprang into action, requesting assistance and easing tensions by having Christian women stay in the homes of Muslim families. Canadian businessman Sarkis Yacoubian sat in a Cuban jail for nearly 2 years after cooperating with prosecutors in a major corruption investigation. In April, prosecutors filed a 63-page indictment against the 53-year-old businessman, reflecting a new hard line against government corruption by Cuban President Raúl Castro. He now faces a possible 12-year prison sentence. Yacoubian, who runs a $30 million trading and transport company, blew the whistle when he told interrogators that he regularly bribed Cuban officials, handing over money to bureaucrats to secure contracts and to ensure they were honored after winning a bid. Prosecutors allege in their court filing that Yacoubian or his employees bribed at least a dozen state officials with everything from nice dinners and prepaid phone cards to cash, $300 for a tip on a deal, $50,000 for a 2008 contract on earth movers. Yacoubian disputes many of the details in the charges, but he says some foreign businessmen were bigger crooks than the Cubans, profiting unduly from shady business dealings, often, he says, with support or subsidies from Western governments. In early 2012, Yacoubian's confessions were recorded on video and given to top Cuban officials, describing bribes and payoffs spreading like a cancer in the top rungs of the Castro regime. Mexican migrant Carolina Martinez traveled 2,000 miles to the U.S. to reunite with her husband in upstate New York. After arriving, she was hired to pick potatoes and onions and worked 6 and 7 days a week. Carolina says the crew manager subjected her to sexual harassment. She threatened to tell the boss, but realized complaining could get her fired and deported. Instead, she suffered in silence. Cheryl Gee, a sexual violence specialist at the Worker Justice Center in Rochester, New York, told the news magazine In These Times many female farm workers perceive rape and sexual harassment as part of coming here. They believe this is what they have to go through to feed their families. A 2010 survey published in the journal Violence Against Women reported upward of 80% of female farm workers were sexually harassed or assaulted on the job. Although undocumented workers currently have the legal right to file a sexual harassment complaint, few will go to the police out of fear of being deported. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Elaine Osowski.